Hey guys, welcome to the Staying Christian podcast, or welcome back. I'm Eli Chamley, and this is
Gavin Hobbs.
Gavin Hobbs. This is a newer type of episode. We're hoping to do shorter than last time because we had this big long interview. But today we're going to be talking about dreams, which is something that's really piqued my interest in the past, and I think would be a really cool topic.
Honestly, we have referenced scripture, so we're not just like spouting out our opinions on this. We're going to talk about our, he's going to talk about his opinion. So we're going to bring up kind of our theories on dreams. And we're actually going to bring some like
secular scientific data.
That, and we're also going to bring actual dreams that people around us have had.
Yeah.
So we're actually going to bring some real world data to the table. So,
So stay tuned. Just so you know, this episode isn't us saying, Oh, God, dreams. Blah, 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 but being like, here's some scientific data. I think it's cool.
Yeah. And here's what the scripture has to say about it. And here's what we have to say about it. So anyways, it's going to be a packed episode. Brace yourselves. Okay. So briefly, before we really get started, I want to talk about sleep and dreaming and how that even occurs. So I've been watching a masterclass with this guy that like studied at Berkeley, I believe. And he's like, got a doctorate in sleep and dream studies and all this stuff. And basically, dreaming is really important, is what he came to, and sleep is exceptionally important. And dreaming only happens during sleep, generally, right? Like, you've got daydreaming, but when we're talking about dreams, we're generally talking about dreams that are had during the night. Otherwise, it's more considered a vision when you're not sleeping. Anyways, so dreaming actually generally happens during REM, which is called rapid eye movement, and but it also happens during NREM, non-rapid eye movement, and you mentioned this.
Which are the little dreams I'm talking about.
Right.
They're more like audiovisual hallucinations, and I've had these, I've even noticed them recently, where I was starting to fall asleep and I'll hear voices that I've never heard before. It's not like I feel like somebody's like telling me a message, but it's like I'm... From the past, I've seen enough movies, I've seen enough TV shows, I've heard enough people talk that I know what people talk like, and my brain is kind of filling in some imagination, like some background noise, like my own white noise generator for me to help me fall asleep. I'm not saying that's exactly what it is, but that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, I don't have that at all. But what's interesting is when you go into sleep, they've done scans of the brain. And the front portions of your left and right cortex are, it kind of controls your logical part, your rational, just overhead, head level, kind of like decisions for your body on a day-to-day basis. That kind of shuts down during sleep so that you don't make as rational decisions during your sleep, you know?
And then realize, wait.
Right. Oh, and
I'm sleeping right out.
That actually helps you resist like emotional impulses as well. So that's why dreams are often very emotional and controlled by your emotions during those dreams, right? Also, what happens is the motor cortex of your brain turns on and lights up big time, in addition to the visual cortex of your brain, which are generally located in the back of your head. And those light up like crazy, which is why generally dreams are very visual and very, like, you're always moving around in them. And what's interesting too is, because it's so motor impulse, like the motor part of your brain is controlling your dream, your brain has like this kill switch that it initiates during dreaming so that you don't actually like hurt yourself during dreaming, which I guess doesn't work for people who like sleepwalk and such.
Well, but no, there's specific disorders that doesn't ever work for people.
That doesn't happen.
And they can't sleep next to people because they will like hurt them.
Right.
You know? And I've read up that sleepwalking is a little different, and most people who are sleepwalking aren't actually dreaming when they sleepwalk. They wake up and never recall dreaming.
Interesting.
So it's some sort of different phenomenon. Like, there's a lot of different phenomenon, like, what do they call it? Narcolepsy, when you just fall asleep in the middle of the day. Like, into REM sleep, not NREM sleep.
Yeah.
Like, totally REM sleep, just out.
Hmm.
And then there's, what's it called? Sleep paralysis, where you wake up and that part of your brain is still shut off.
And so you can't move.
Right. And because your brain is still doing dream stuff, you can hallucinate things in your room. And your body is still supposedly asleep, So you start feeling like you're lifting up or whatever.
Right.
Some people claim that they were abducted by aliens because of the way their body felt.
Interesting. So anyways, dreaming is super important, and they actually did studies on this. I think actually Russia back in the day, back when things were gnarly as heck, they did a lot of sleep experiments. But some other studies, I guess, in addition to those, like you can go 19 hours without sleep before you start to like really start to go insane a little bit and have like hallucinations, and you start to you're basically full on drunk at 19 hours without sleep. And you can go 18 days, or in the lab, rats have gone 18 days without sleep before they actually die after 18 days without sleep.
Yeah.
So like sleep is super important, and dreaming specifically, I think, is a really interesting and important part of sleep.
So what I found was psychoanalysts and dream analysts, like the biggest ones were Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, for the most part, and they were partners, I think. So a lot of this stuff goes together because they worked together for the most part, and then they were eventually driven apart by their differences and beliefs about their work. But for the most part here, Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud both believed that, you know, dreams kind of expressed suppressed feelings and things about a person that you could learn from by talking to them about their dreams. However, you know, they definitely had some different ideas about it. Carl Jung talked about how a dream seemed to purposefully avoid being understood. Like, you try to understand them and it's like, oh, maybe I didn't understand that at all. Maybe it's the complete opposite of what I thought. He noted that, you know, when you're talking to a patient, just suggesting what you think the dream might mean might completely change it for them and their subjectivity to it. So when really he thought that only the person who had the dream will actually know what it means. I don't know how much of that is true for real, because most of these conclusions ends up coming out to, we don't actually know. You know, and it's all seemingly speculation, which I thought was a cool conclusion, because then you can take it from there. You know, there's more to learn about it. Another thing Jung believed was like little dreams and big dreams. So like when you're in NREM sleep before you go into like REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement, is where you have those deep dreams. So there's little dreams and big dreams. And he believed the big dreams had some more meaning. Those are like the dreams you remember. And then, like, the little dreams are just your mind recounting memories, rebuilding synapses, strengthening your memory core, I guess, like an inside out with the memory core.
All the little marbles go in the little places.
But essentially, he believed that dreams are, like, a representation of your unconscious mind. And, you know, the main thing he disagreed with Freud on was that Freud was talking about how the anxiety-provoking thoughts were mainly like embarrassing sexual desires or something like that. And Freud was like, I don't think it's just that. And Freud was pretty convinced that it was like, oh, when we have these shameful thoughts, you know, that's all where all the negative stuff is coming from. And Freud believed that, you know, dreams were like a brain's filter on subconscious buildup, and that dreams were solely there to keep you from waking up, so that your brain was entertained and wouldn't just wake you back up, so that you would get enough sleep.
Hmm.
And I thought that was interesting. I don't know how much I believe about that, but I still think it's really cool to see how deep these people went into learning about it, like, and actually like reading brain scans. There are brain scans that suggest that daydreaming brains have the same activity as dreaming brains. So when you just kind of zone out and you're thinking about some stuff that you couldn't really explain to somebody when they ask you, and all, it's just like the same activity. One interesting thing they said was typically the left side of your brain, which seems to make sense out of everything, is kind of shut off when you're asleep. That's why you can have like these dreams that are just don't make a lot of sense, like a whale flying in the sky or something like that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I definitely had those.
And so dream analysts don't really actually know what to say, but they can only do the best they can through like an educated guess based on their previous experience and supposed training. And so, you know, what they tried to do was tried to see if the subconscious concepts in dreams could help people realize, you know, the emotions and stuff they hadn't gotten past.
I got you.
And get them to a more healthy mental state. And so, while I think that's a cool end goal, I guess, to try and help people move past mental blocks and all that, I personally think it's a little more. Freud has this theory about how it's specifically, like, a lot of dreams are specifically anxious and negative feeling. Like, all the, like, think of some dreams that you remember where you were stressed out. Like, you were being chased by something.
Right, right.
There was something really weird happening. You were upset. Freud really believed those dreams, we remember those because our ancestors had to deal with, like, wild animals and things they actually had to be prepared for. And so our brain would train us to deal with stressful situations.
It's like a virtual training simulation.
So it's like a, it's like some holodeck or something from Star Trek.
Right.
Where you can do it and it won't hurt you.
Right, right.
And so we would learn how to deal with the anxiety so that when it actually came up, we could push ourselves to take care of it. So a lot of people talk about how dreams and sleep are, you know, necessary. Necessary. Right. And, you know, even from a Darwinian standpoint, animals dream and sleep. So it's like, why would they do that? The best course of action would clearly be to avoid staying in one place for 8 hours defenseless.
Right.
You know, so you didn't die. But they do it. And it's necessary that they do it. If they're not doing it, they slowly, you know, do it because their brain, their body needs it to repair. And we've been able to record that we repair ourselves while we sleep. Our eyes, all the cells that are damaged from light, repair themselves in our eyes when mm-hmm. we sleep. You know, many things like that. So sleep is clearly important. A YouTuber I watched said that dreams are random noise pulled from the cortex that are trying to strengthen synapses and memories from the day while we sleep for the future. You know, I don't know about that. I mean, he ends the video saying he doesn't actually know any of that for sure. And, you know, he thinks it's kind of cool that we don't know what dreams mean or if they even mean anything. And I thought that was a neat way to end his video, but
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think, dreams are interesting too, is because they also, like, during sleep, your body is storing away memories, right? It's taking the memories during the day and taking what it thinks is important and putting them into, like, deep memory, you know? And then also, you'll relive past memories often in your sleep sometimes, you know, you'll relive some of those moments. And, often also, what's interesting additionally is that you will take old memories that are often traumatic, and sleep kind of puts a soft edge on them. It kind of, like, breaks them down and takes the more traumatic parts of that and kind of just throws it away almost. Mm-hmm. It, like, it doesn't need it almost. And it kind of is a way that we emotionally repair from experiences in our life.
It's definitely a repair time.
It is very much a repair time, it seems. Like you said, it's interesting, during these times in sleep, we'll relive often these stressful, like, memories mm-hmm. or what we project as future experiences, and we'll often try to figure out solutions. Mm-hmm. It's interesting for me personally, I've been, like, on the verge of falling asleep, and I'll come up with a solution for something mm-hmm. that I was been struggling with and thinking about all day. Mm-hmm. And, it's just like, that seems to be our brain's way of just, like, relaxing mm-hmm. and kind of just trying to repair itself and solve previous issues.
Yeah. An interesting quick note on that. I don't remember his exact name, Elias something. He invented the sewing machine. Mm-hmm. He had a dream. He was trying to go to sleep, and he was like, I'll just go to sleep. I'll figure out how to invent this machine that'll sew things, you know, so people don't have to keep sewing things.
Yeah.
He had a dream that tribal men were spearing him to death.
Yeah.
With spears that looked exactly like sewing needles. He woke up, had the exact idea for the invention mm-hmm. at like 3 a.m., went and made the sewing machine.
Hmm. So real quick, I want to kind of touch on some of the examples in the scripture that we actually have scripture talking about dreams very specifically. In Joel 2:28, it's talking about what I assume to be Pentecost. And it says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh," Pentecost. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting about this is that he's very specific with who's doing what.
Mm-hmm.
Old men are dreaming dreams, young men are seeing visions. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's, I'd imagine
prophecies, mutually exclusive.
I don't know if, yeah, exactly, if those are mutually exclusive or not. I don't know, but it is saying this is something that that's going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, and old men will dream dreams.
Yeah. Speaking of this, like prophecies and things, I've had dreams that have exactly come true the way I've dreamt them. And in the moment,
you're a young man.
And so. I'm a young man. And I've had things happen, you know, that I knew were going to happen because I remembered the dream in a split second amount of time. Hmm. And I was able to change the way that the real reality happened.
The outcome. Mm-hmm.
By just saying something different than what I said in my dream.
Interesting.
Or elsewhere. I've heard accounts of other people saying deja vu, having deja vu where they've seen it before or they've dreamt it before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there seems to be like two different types of deja vu, one where they're just like, hey, I've been here before, but, oh yeah, I have been here before.
Yeah.
You know, but then there is what I would call premonition dreams, mm-hmm. which I seem to have a lot, where something happens exactly the way I dreamt it.
Did you dream we were going to have this conversation? Mm-mm.
Okay. I've dreamt I've had a different conversation with you. Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it happened. Mm.
So it's interesting because God's doing like these. He'll come to you specifically in a dream. He'll send a messenger. And then he'll do these metaphor dreams that often need interpretation. Often by someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the Joseph dreams, he interpreted Herod's, right? Or the Potiphar's, I think is what you said, dream. But then his own dreams, he didn't know the meaning, did he?
Joseph's dreams?
He did know the meaning of his own dreams, yeah. Didn't he?
He said, you will bow down to me.
Yeah, yeah. That's mm-hmm. He interpreted his own dreams, which was interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. They said, no, we won't.
Yeah. Like, forget that. We hate you.
No, we won't. We're selling you to these right. slave drivers right now.
What's interesting about these metaphorical dreams that I started noticing is when people have these types of dreams, they're often immediately like, that was weird. This kind of stands out to me. They remember the dream.
Yeah.
It stands out to them.
But they say, and then they this start was to, important.
Yeah. They look for an interpretation of the dream, mm-hmm. which is interesting that God doesn't just give them the interpretation. He actually often requires the help of other people mm-hmm. to get that interpretation, such as this precise example in right. which Joseph has to come and give the interpretation. Mm-hmm. He gives an interpretation for the two guys in prison, mm-hmm. right? One of the guy gets killed after he gets brought out of prison. Uh-huh. And then the other guy gets promoted to the cupbearer or whatever. So real quickly, I want to talk about like some real life experiences we've had with dreams yeah. and possible interpretations and what do they all mean, right? I actually had my grandma like last week call me and mm-hmm. say, I had a dream about you. Apparently there were fires going on in the world, which is like, I'm like, great. She's like, I was trying to figure out what to do with my friends, how to put these giant fires out all over. And you showed up and were able to, you were looking for the cause of the fires, found out it was some problem with yourself. You were actually the cause of the fires. And then you put them all out.
She said it was you.
Yeah, she said yeah. it was me specifically, me, Gavin. So I heard that and I was like, well, great. If this is true, I'm scared now.
he told this to me and I was like, it sounds like there's two different ways this dream like could be, you know, what it is. It could be the, you know, your grandmother's got some negative thoughts, whatever. She's thinking about catastrophic things and right. she really believes in you. So she thinks that even though you're humble, you know, you would probably, you know, take the blame for it or something and then take care of it because yeah. you're capable.
Yep.
And I said, and then the other thing could be that maybe it's prophecy in the future, something you will cause something bad to happen, but you will fix it. Eventually you will realize, oh, this is my fault and right. take responsibility for
that
it.
That is what was encouraging about that dream. I'll be honest though. It wasn't just like death and destruction. It was like, I actually fixed it.
Yeah.
So that was,
sometimes it's just like you died. In my dream. It's like, oh great. What does that mean?
So yeah, as far as what I did with that, she said apparently there was some verse I referenced or some verse that was like really prominent in the dream, which was like Philippians 2 something or other, which I actually read it and it was something about, she mentioned it was something about selfish ambition leading to destruction or something.
So I guess be aware of selfish ambition.
Well, that's what she said, but I read it and what I got out of it was like really focusing on being a servant and not allowing your own ambition to get in the way of that kind of ambition kind of seemed to be like a very small side thing, but that's what I got out of it too. So I don't know what this dream means. I don't know if it was a dream from God. And she even said when she told me this, she was like, I don't understand. Take it as you will. I just had this dream. I'm just wanted to let you know about it.
What's cool about dreams is we like to share them with each other. Someone's like, hey, what'd you dream about? Like, what have you been dreaming about? We're ready to answer that.
Yeah, we are.
We're like, dude, I had the weirdest dream. I gotta tell you about it.
Now, some people don't. Like, my dad, he's like, I don't dream. Which, we do dream, but often we'll forget almost everything.
Mm-hmm. The majority of people dream, and if you don't, you're a pretty rare exception.
It's very unlikely that you don't dream. It's more unlikely that you forget about all your dreams when you wake up. So, anyways, dreams are very much a part of our culture and life.
It's an example of a dream for me was, and I'm not going to sit here and recount every dream, don't worry, but I thought of this example was back when I was talking to God about getting real quiet and be like, hey, God, you know, am I supposed to marry my wife? Should I do this or not? I felt God say, you know, to grant this to you. And I had dreams about exactly what my wedding looked like. And when my wedding came and went, it went exactly how I dreamt it. Like, down to the letter. And I don't know what that means. If I'm some sort of prophecy child now, or like I'm supposed to be able to...
Eli, prophecy child.
supposed to tell people, hey, I had this dream and, you know, you need to be careful not to drive on slippery roads or something like that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I have experience of God showing me the future in my dream. It's really cool. So I have a little theory about dreams, and actually I have two theories about dreams now, but the first one is about kind of how dreams have negative connotations. Like, for the most part, dreams we remember are embarrassing, scary, outright weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, things that just don't make sense to us. And, you know, to be fair, we're typically frightened of the unknown. So what I was talking about before is Sigmund Freud calls this the brain preparing us for bad situations, attributing it to early cave ancestors with had anxious dreams to prepare us for maybe fighting wild animals or something like that.
It enables us to like enter a virtual simulation,
right,
and experience future events without getting hurt.
But in the connotation, in the box with what we've been talking about with the Bible and stuff, and God speaking to us, it leads me to question, maybe we feel bad and we're feeling shame for some sin we have. And maybe that's not always the case. And it might come out through our dream in a negative, shameful emotion, you know, to tell us, hey, here's something you need to pay attention to. And which I don't think would be far off from some of the psychoanalysts saying, hey, this does seem like something you're dealing with. Maybe it's showing up in the dream because you're dealing with it, because you feel this way about it.
Right.
And to me, it's kind of like visions to help us see that we do subconsciously know of a moral standard, know of God's law. And when we break it, and, you know, this is something I've talked about before. C.S. Lewis talks about it. He talks about it out of the context of dreams, but he says we all deeply feel thrown off kilter when someone wrongs us, and we feel someone is accusing us. When someone's accusing us of a truly immoral thing, we feel completely appalled. And if we actually went over the moral line, you know, we know it, and we're quick to defend ourselves, even lying in the process to let the other person believe that we never crossed the moral standard in the first place, you know. So that's part of my first theory is, this isn't, I don't know for sure, but I feel like some of those feelings, those guilt feelings or whatever, you know, are to push us to actually dealing with them. And to acknowledge them and say, okay, maybe my dreams do mean something in this sense. The negative ones that we remember are to help us get back, you know, to
get back
to where we're supposed to be in the right relationship with God, I suppose.
Interesting.
But then there's the other theory I was talking about before, like God speaks to us when we're quiet. And when we dream is most often when we force ourselves to lay down and be still. And prayer is another time, and when we daydream is another time I think we are mentally quiet.
Yes.
You have totally chaotic daydreams.
Right. Which I think one of the strongest pieces of evidence that support this is that often in the Bible, visions and dreams are kind of like grouped together, right? Mm-hmm. Like we already saw that one of the verses I presented, it says he was lying on his bed and he was in a dream and a vision or something, you know? That's kind of like something God seems to do. And I think also in Acts, I believe, I think it was Peter up on the roof of some house praying.
In the house they were staying.
Yeah, like meditating, praying. And then it says God appeared to him in a vision. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like at that point, that's when God appeared to him. Mm-hmm. When he was up there praying, getting really quiet with God. Mm-hmm. Bam, vision. And then he tells him about, he drops the four corners with all the hooved animals and says, eat, Peter, kill and eat. But anyways, it's like, I think that that theory is like really strong. God seems to use these times when we get really quiet with him to speak to us. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a really strong theory. I think I'm 100% on board with the theory. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm gathering from all this research we've been doing. I was listening to a podcast in preparation for this podcast episode, and it was this dude talking about lucid dreaming, and the FBI released a document on dreams and states of reality and all this weird stuff, the multiverse theorems.
Transversing realms by falling asleep.
Yeah, like lucid dreaming, all this weird,
I used to think we would transcend realms when we fell asleep. But at this point, you know, I believe, you know, God's in the fourth dimension. So.
Right. Yeah, I was listening to all this. It's just, it was a very weird, like, thing. But I think it was funny because my buddy referenced Ready Player One. And he said, he said, realities, you know, it's reality because it's the only place you can get a good bite to eat.
Yeah.
You know, you leave, you can't live in a dream forever, you know, and that's how you know it isn't real, kind of. Yeah. It's so that was kind of was like for me, because you look at all those lucid dreamings and you're like, what? Oh my gosh, what the heck is this? But then I'm like, I don't know. So I don't really know. Maybe lucid dreaming is some weird fourth dimension crap. But for me, what I'm looking at is
I did for lucid dreaming. And this is my opinion. If you lucid dream and you're a big fan of it, then I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But most of what I've seen is people trying to live in Hogwarts.
There's the
their overactive imagination creates a space that they believe they're in.
Right, but you can't eat in Hogwarts and survive in that state for forever. Therefore, it's like, is that really real? Is that really real?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I don't... Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. But anyways, all this stuff is very interesting. I do think God speaks to us through dreams. I guess we should be aware of that, and
you know, when somebody has a dream, ask your buddies.
Yeah,
ask your buddies about their dreams. Exhort them, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Encourage them. When Eli says stuff about dreams, I'm a little bit like that. That sounds really weird. That doesn't sound possible. But I've never had them too, so who am I to judge? Mm-hmm. You know. So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, whatever you do, make sure you tell them exactly what their dream means.
Yeah, exactly.
So that they know.
Yeah, so that they know. You tell them about the wheat.
Anyways,
yeah. That's the dream episode.
A lot of speculation, not a lot of conclusions, but a lot of theories. Makes you think.
Yeah, for sure.
Really makes you think, man.
Thank you, Brandon, because this was a listener-provided idea for providing us with this topic. If you, the listener, would like to provide us with another topic, you're welcome to do so. You can hit us up in the DMs on Instagram at StayingChristian. You can email us
at StayingChristian@gmail.com.
And, you can find us on most socials.
Yeah.
Eli
Chamley, Gavin Hobbs.
Yeah.
That's Gavin Hobbs and Eli Chamley. thank you guys for listening. I'm sorry if it's long. We try to keep these short.
But alas, we fail.
Alas, we talk way too much.
If you guys want to share with us your dreams, your lucid dreams, your dreams in general, your dream about us in which we make $1 million with this podcast and have 3 jillion listeners, you're welcome to share them with us via email.
Totally 3 jillion.
Yeah.
100%. If you have counter theories to my theories, or you just think my theory is correct and I should post it in some sort of scientific journal, let me know.
Yeah. Or if you just have hate mail for us, we are always accepting of hate mail. Anyways,
see you guys.
Stay real.
Stay real. Stay Christian.
Bye.
Bye.
God, I screwed that up so hard. the intro of the podcast is that. I know I'm running.